diff.org or call 212-864-1760. Enjoy your world on the big screen.
And you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the web at WBAI.org. And the time now is...
Do you like music?
Yes.
Why did you put a record on? We'll be right back.
I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed.
I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Joe Massiri.
Mike Sargent, though, we just cut the music.
Well, I faded the music down. But I do want to let people know that they are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, and the microphones are drooping.
Which can only mean one thing. We're in pledge mode.
We're in pledge mode. We need to get a new mic stand, and we need you to pledge. But I do have what you're listening to, of course, is a compilation of the best DGM from the last 2-3 months. Fall 2017.
DGM.
And what we're going to do here on the show is we're going to play the music, and the music hopefully will make you pledge. It'll make you call 516-620-3602 and just say, hey, I want my night shift. I mean, I want my DGM. I'm sorry. I want my DGM. Hey, I want my DGM.
Hey.
And again, the DGM that you want is Fall 2017. You need this. You can feel it. Now, we do have Life is Like Science Fiction, and I have to say, Joe, life is getting more and more and more. It's really kind of a dystopian science fiction that we're living in now. So we're gonna talk about the world at large. I have some Life is Like Science Fiction. You know, you know they've been giving out. Did you read about the infant licenses? Did you read about that?
Yes, I did.
Infant gun licenses. Yes, it's a real thing, Joe.
I find it amazing.
There's so many things I find amazing that it's hard to believe that we're in the world we're in. But we also have a special guest here with us. The mystery guest is here.
I'm back.
Hello, mystery guest.
Hello.
So, the name of the show is Night Shift. I'm Mike Sargent. I'm here with Joe Massiri and the mystery guest. And we're playing DGM for you. We're going to be talking about how life is like science fiction. Asking you to make a pledge. It's only a $35 pledge.
Just $35?
Just $35.
And how many hours of DGM
you get? 6.5 hours of DGM. That's pretty impressive.
It is.
That's like easily like 7 albums right there.
There you go.
7 albums, you know, even at 99 cents a song, you know, that's a bargain. That's all I'm saying. And nothing's 99 cents. It's like everything's $1.29 now, isn't it?
Right, yeah. Well, unless you're an indie rock band, and then on iTunes, you're 99 cents.
You're 99 cents.
A single, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, if you're unknown.
Yeah, but otherwise, if you're YouTube, you're like $1.29, $1.39.
Wow, $1.29, $1.39.
That was YouTube, not YouTube, the New York accent.
YouTube, yeah, I know, it's that New York accent. Well, you know, I know somebody that says to me sometimes that I slip into the Joe accent, and they go, why are you sounding like Joe? You sound like Joe.
We're interchangeable.
Well, that's
nobody has seen. No, very few people have ever seen us together in the same room.
This is true in the flesh.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's true. We might be the same person. And so, if you call, or you can go to give2 WBAI, and you can find it. You just put in DGM, and you'll see there's several DGMs, but this new collection that you're listening to, it's a combination of what I call Fall 2017. But it's also sort of the best of. So I've got some of the highlights of some of the best of. Like this. I'm going to play something here for you, Joe. This is on the collection here. You ready?
Play it.
So tell me if you know what it is.
Sounds like Doctor Who.
It's not Doctor Who, you fool.
Thought it was like a guitar or a solo Doctor Who theme.
What'd you say, Joe?
It's the wall.
Yes, it is.
Track 2 of the original.
No, this is a DGM version.
Why?
No, there's no Garth Brooks in here.
It's like you close my head and go, hey,
add your own
teacher. Leave those kids alone.
Are you going to be able to go into fall in the holiday season without having this stuff? You know you need it.
You're just days away from winter.
Shh. That's why you got to get fall now. I'm probably only going to offer it this week, and that's it.
Just this week?
Just this
week. It's a one-week-only offer.
1 week, one time, one night only.
Then what's next week you going to offer?
Like the Christmas, DGM Christmas.
Executive Order AUC-3423. Listen to this, boys.
When you are done today, I throw a little of this in there too, Joe, for you.
Wait, is that on the GGM fall too?
This is all the GG Alderman fall. All right, I also have this on here for you. This is Joe getting ready in the morning. Dresses like the Men in Black.
I feel like I'm in a 70s looks like we always movie with Charles Bronson.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're putting your gun together.
Get my quarter, roll of quarters and putting them in my sock.
Getting ready to kick ass.
Yeah. Slaughterhouse. Phone rings, it's James Colbert.
Exactly. This is, he calls you as you're putting your brass knuckles in your pocket.
Exactly.
516-620-3602, $35 pledge for all the, DGM stands for damn good music. We've got quite a collection here for you. You can get up in the morning and pretend to be Joe.
What it's for, no one gives us rhyme or reason. If you have one doubt, they call it treason. I said we're chicken feathers, chicken. All without one gut.
I also have this version.
Compared to what?
This is when I meet Joe.
I actually thought it was more like a car chase scene.
Yeah, this is Joe did the car chase.
Compared to this musical trick, a day you try to spy. How my mind's eye prize whereby I'm satisfied. Well, are the thoughts, what we taught to say and do. These things like hailing moves swiftly in an empty stating true. Who am I charist with a twist of hip hop? Unorthodox, I'm writing from the crude at time, but not forgot for stop. But not the end, dreams are in between. They think again, pull on the ring, then witness powers extreme. Give me a signal, tell me how it was. And stop doing this for the love of all my children. Then and only then will I doubt my spirit. That gives me glances of circumstances and where to steer it. Mystic vibes, I hear cry. Now why would I defy? Those who know just let it go, this rhyme's your alibi. That's why I come correct, reflect on similarities. Check the prelude, you see my chapter brings in clarity. So loud compared to what I dance on rhyme lines like a lyrical, metaphorical, matador, acrobatical. My BMs are all for one, one for all. That's how we kick it. It's blissed, Pluto, Pluto, no return, so just get with it. If you wanna win, accept the challenge. Compare to this, to that, to what? Who holds the balance?
Sergeant.
Did you enjoy that?
I did.
And it's not what you expected, though, is it?
How so?
Well, it's a remix. You didn't expect it. No one expects the Spanish, I mean the remix.
It sounded like J.B. Smooth was doing the rapping on that.
Yeah, well, not quite.
It's like a British...
British J.B. Smooth.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Something like that. So, I do have a few questions for you, Joe, because we really haven't gotten a chance to talk about it. But you know, there's so much to talk about. It's sort of mind-blowing that we're living in this. You know, I mean, do you want to talk about the monuments and the memorial parks that he's shrinking? Do you want
to
talk about how he screwed over, forget just the middle class, but small businesses? You are now no longer able to claim anything.
Well, what about, the college students who won't be able to
deduct
the interest on their student loans, and the graduate students who are going to be taxed on the full amount of the tuition that they're not paying?
Right, the tuition that they're not paying, they get taxed on it. Now, what's interesting about that is what that really sets up completely is that higher education is only for the rich and the elite and those who are already in a position to be able to afford higher education. So the same people who healthcare doesn't matter to are the same people who this kind of tax changes won't matter to. So here's the world we're going to have. We're going to have the rich are richer, the poor are poorer, the middle class are taxed, we've lowered their Medicaid, we've wiped out the Social Security, you know, and...
Soylent Green is made out of people.
People right now. Now, then you're going to stop all the immigrants from coming in, so that means all the low-wage labor will go to all those uneducated folks who can't afford to get a real education, can only take those jobs that at one time would have been given to those immigrants. Do you think is that what you see, like a permanent underclass there to be in permanent servitude to the ruling class?
The people working in McDonald's will not be able to afford the McDonald's meal.
Exactly. Basically, there it is.
So who's going to be eating the McDonald's?
Well, that's the question. Who's going to be? Well, McDonald's will have to increase the dollar menu.
And then the irony of the original theme song.
What?
You deserve a break today.
Oh, right.
McDonald's.
Now, we're not loving it?
No, not loving it. And no, not loving it at all.
Not loving it. That's a new one.
There you go.
Not loving it.
I'm just a poor, mangy, fat cat.
A mangy fat cat.
And in the back of my mind, I hear the Beatles sing, "You say you want a revolution." Well, it's you know.
I like
somebody else recently turned around and said, that, you know, well, maybe the what we need is just one more civil war.
Talk to me, Joe.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, no wonder we've been talking, getting you on the wrong mic all this time. Let me talk again.
Test, 1, 2, 3.
No, that's still not the right mic. Talk to me.
Test, 1, 2. What mic? Where's the numbers? Who's messing with the numbers? There I am?
There you are.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
There you go.
Stereo.
Yes. Now I can hear you. All right, finish what you're saying,
Mikey,
Joe.
Mikey, can you hear me? Can you really hear me?
So what's your take? I mean, do you know? And here's what I find interesting about all of this. That it is part of human nature to be able to adapt to anything.
Okay.
So anything can become the new normal. And, you know, we are now living in an age where, you know, anybody with a half a brain... And this is not to put down people who necessarily voted for Trump or who are Republican, but anybody with a half a brain can see what's going on and see what the agenda is if you're paying attention. I mean, I don't know how much you could stick your head in the sand anymore to see that this administration does not care anything for the working class. Now, not only have we set all these things up tax-wise, okay, now we're headed into, we're probably going to be headed into war. Do you see that coming?
Here or abroad?
Well, it doesn't matter. We need a war to justify all the defense spending and for the money to be made in part of the military-industrial complex, which is the world we're living in.
And this was the world we created.
So, I mean, do you disagree? Or?
You know, I don't see the war thing as much.
What do you
as,
see?
As I see this... this master plan that seems like a dystopian science fiction novel, whereby we close the borders.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we no longer. I mean, Jesus, the stories that they've been talking about, even on like other, like they were doing the thing about how there's a shortage of workers in California for picking the crops and stuff because they're aging out and no, they're not coming across the border and their kids are educated, so nobody wants to do that. So who's going to pick the crops? And that even
the
that
robots.
And even if they create some machines,
robots, yes, I agree with her. Yeah,
not all Lots the machines can pick everything.
No, this is true.
So
they'll just be less. They'll have to charge more.
And
just be less. Charge more.
You see the thing about the bees now?
What, are they finally dying?
No, well, yeah, they're dying, and now they're paying people. Like, I actually saw this video where they're paying people to go. They cut off a branch of the tree, and they're going in the tree, and they're brushing.
Shake this pollen.
Yeah, exactly, kind of thing. Which
it's your job now.
We're gonna try and do what the bees used to do.
Exactly.
We used to have a free labor force.
Well, why not make mechanical bees?
Well, I saw that episode of Black Mirror, so yeah.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Yeah, that's mechanical not a bees. Good idea.
It's a good idea.
No, it's not.
Good idea, yeah, Joe. Yeah. Come on.
I feel bad for the bees.
Well, don't feel bad for the bees, because it's been said that if once the bees go, mankind's got about 4 to 6 years.
I'm saying I feel bad for us, because... I don't know. I just like
you don't know
hive.
Why you feel bad for it.
The honeycomb structure, the hexagons, the circle packing. You know, how they became such austere, practical architects.
They're inbred.
I don't think that's all there is to it. Yes. I think there's just some sort of mystery to.
No, I agree with you 1,000%. But the other thing is what we've done, even with the honeybees, even with the bees that are left, we have weakened the genetic structure of the bee so that a queen bee that would have at one time lived 18 years will now live anywhere from 8 to 12. Okay, because of what we feed the bees. What
pesticides.
Not just the pesticides, but what they actually feed the bees in the bee farms is not what is natural.
Bee
we
papers.
Feed them we feed them
synthetic honey.
Crap.
Or they just are limited to one product.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. When they take them out into the field as opposed to having a more diverse
and
robust diet. Corn
and that flowers. Same thing has happened to the cattle, the pigs.
And us.
And us. Exactly.
Yes.
And this is DGM to consider the coming apocalypse. 516-620-3602. Fall 2017. DGM. $35 pledge. Listen, here's the other thing, okay? You know, because now we live in capitalistopia, and everything is about money. You know, the only reason this whole revolution that's happening with, and this is the irony, I think, of it all. The whole reason I believe that this whole revolution with all these sexual harassment and women coming forward and people being able to talk and these companies moving so quickly. The only reason these companies move so quickly is because it affects their bottom line. Because people won't support, you know, advertisers won't buy time on your show and people won't buy your product or see your movie or support whatever it is if they know there's sexual harassment behind it, because the public can speak, the public can vote, the public can, through social media, the public has power, except with those who represent us in the government.
Well, but the other thing too is that the whole process is of different, because they don't have to answer to a board.
That's my point. They don't have to answer. They won't step down. They won't resign. A woman came out now with photographic evidence of her relationship
with Roy Moore.
With Roy Moore.
Yeah, I read that.
And they're still, he's still there. And Trump's doubling down.
Yes, I support him.
That's not a Trump voice.
Well, no. Well, it's just a stupidity voice. It's not a Trump
just,
voice.
It's just,
I don't really do Trump.
It's a complete and utter nightmare. It's the emperor's new clothes. And when they wake up,
we're the emperor.
No. And when people wake up, there will be a revolution. There will be an awakening and a reckoning.
Is that what you tell yourself?
Yes. In what order?
Unless, of course, they still keep putting chemicals in the food that they're sending into the food pantries where the poor people live. And
they don't even have to do that. They don't even have to, because this is what I was getting at when I was saying about the survival instinct. The survival instinct of human beings is to adapt to anything. So anything become the new normal. So we now live in an age where we're just used to having a president who lies and who, I mean, I love how over the weekend, this is just like classic. It's sort of like, that's not my playboy. That's I'm holding it for a friend. It's like his lawyer comes out and says, no, I said that. I tweeted that. Now, all of a sudden, I'm doing the president's tweets on a Saturday afternoon.
Go.
Yeah, that was me.
Or even him saying, "That wasn't my voice on the tape."
Yeah, exactly. He'll just say it. He'll throw it out there, and you know what?
And then Billy Bush turning around and responding to TMZ saying, no, I was in the thing with him. He said that. Listen, that's his voice on the tape.
But you see, here's what, again, this is the only thing I have to give him credit for, because in a science fiction novel, if one of the great science fiction writers, whether it was Philip K. Dick or any of these, you know,
Did you see the Shining-esque Christmas decorations that
he put up?
Melania put up in the White House?
No, well, when she's walking down the year with the hallway. Yeah,
but I saw some of the other stuff, and it was just like,
it is. It's like a Netflix movie or series. But the point I'm making is Trump has completely obliterated reality. We live in an age now. Trump knew, and I said it here on the air before he got the office, but he knew what most people don't quite realize, that there is no such thing as reality. There's only media. So you put it out there, and there's going to be people who are going to believe it because they'd rather believe that. And that's it. There are going to be people who will say to you, you probably won't encounter these people, and neither will I, but there are people who will say to you, well, see, it wasn't even him. It was the Democrats. They made the tape. It's true.
What? And did you see the latest thing? The bill for the golf cart rentals that Trump has been charging the Secret Service? Trump is making money off of the Secret Service.
He's been making money off. But again,
every time,
six stories like this come out a day. Every outrageous, ridiculous should be illegal.
Even look, I have to say one thing.
What?
You can say whatever you want to say about Mike Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was in politics here in New York, he didn't live in Gracie Mansion. He took $1 a year salary.
Listen, he's a different kind of man.
And it's like
different kind of man.
And you look at,
and I was not a fan.
He had integrity.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He makes Trump seem like, compared to Trump, he's like the Pope.
Trump thinks he's Richie Rich.
Well,
but at least Richie Rich was more really philanthropic.
But he's really Casper.
At least Richie Rich was more philanthropic.
Yeah, but was he philanthropic to who?
Out.
Like to who?
No,
Little
he
Lulu?
Always, he was always trying to help out his friends and stuff. And
was he friends with Little Lulu?
I don't know. I don't recall.
You're tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI. We're hoping that you want to pledge. We're just touching upon the things that we go into detail here on public radio. And the great thing about public radio is that you can not only talk about these things, but very much on the daytime here on WBAI, what you get are in-depth conversations with experts, people who are not going to give you, and I hate to use the phrase, the fake news. You know, the fake news existed. It's been twisted to be used by the other, let's just say, it's been used now as a way of denying the truth. You just call it fake news. But the reality is the only news, the only information that is unbiased is information that does not have corporate interests. And as a listener-supported station, that means we have your interests. You are our corporation. You are who we represent. We are people radio, public radio, radio for the public. Do you agree, Joe? Do you concur?
Yes. Night Shift, brought to you by Soylent Green. Soylent Green is made from
people. Exactly. So we need some of your Soylent Green if you want to make a pledge, $35. You can get some of this DGM, some of this music that you're listening to, and you can make your own podcast at home, and you can be like, wow, you can pretend to be Night Shift. Or you can just have it as a soundtrack of your life. You could be riding the subway. Imagine you're on the subway, and you're listening to this.
In the future, you may not be riding the subway at the time.
Exactly. You know, I was arguing with Kevin Scott. He was like, oh, no, this is great. It's every other system needs to shut down. I'm like, what? You're saying this to somebody who has to take a train at 3:30 in the morning.
Exactly.
Wait, yeah. So the subways?
Oh, yeah, it's coming. They're talking about shutting down for the next 15 years while they refurbish the system, shutting down the system from midnight till 5 a.m. Now, Kevin Scott had a better idea. You know, he'd have it running 24/7 on the weekends, shut it down during the week at these times, but have it on the weekends because that's really when, you know, most of the traffic.
Well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's what he said. Thursday, Friday. That's exactly what he said.
So many people, though.
Well, no, they've done the numbers. If they shut it down between 12 and 5, there are only 85,000 people who will be affected. And that is only 1.5% of the ridership of the MTA. So, to affect that 1.5%, who cares? We're part of the 1.5%.
And I have to say,
get interesting at 1.5.
That's right.
Yeah, where you gonna have, like, you won't get to see those, like one night I was taking the train home after we did the show because I was feeling, you know, very courageous.
You were feeling 1.5%.
And I was feeling 1.5%.
You're a 1.5%er.
And the train pulled into 34th Street. And there was this one woman standing in the doorway holding the train for the invisible man.
Yeah.
And the other woman was like, let go of the doors. Let go of it. Let go.
Well, that woman couldn't see the invisible man, obviously.
Right. And so she pushed her out. And then she was out, but then they closed the doors and then he opened it again. And she ran in and he closed the doors. But then there was a delay on the train. He opened it and the two women got into that kind of a fight.
Stop.
And then
did
they
you
had
video?
Big hoop. No, I didn't have no phone.
Well, you didn't have your phone?
But then the both women had big hoop earrings and the one woman went, bling!
No. Stop! What year was this?
This was 1998.
1998, okay, yeah.
And
20
then,
years ago.
And
that's
then the other woman said, oh yeah, and bling!
Stop! You watch this
I'm
go down?
I'm watching that. And like, there's a couple other guys in the train and we're all wide awake now and it's like,
Joe broke out the popcorn.
I'd love to throw a mirror threatened. In there somewhere.
Hello, you on the air.
Yes, good evening. Like I was telling you the other night, you look at any system around the world, all despite every subway system.
By the way, first of all, let me just introduce this person who's talking. This is Kevin Scott, who's retired assistant principal and, okay, a train enthusiast. Okay, so, go ahead.
Wait,
you studied any system, Montreal Metro,
yes, he did.
The Atlanta MARTA, the Russian subway, Paris subway, they all shut down at night between about 12 and 5 for maintenance.
That's right, because they're not real cities.
Let me tell you something. Anything mechanical has to be maintained. And they just about do it here in New York also, because you ride it somewhere at night. This line's not working. This line's been rerouted. Because that's
right.
What need
this
to
line,
make it.
They're pulling the earrings off.
I'm gonna say it, and I'm gonna get slapped first.
No, wait. Let Kevin go. Wait, his whole. Case, Kevin.
That's like my girlfriend. She
what?
Needs to be serviced between.
Stop! Stop your girlfriend.
I'm serious. But our system is old, and it's deteriorating.
It's decrepit. All the engineers are
and
telling.
It needs to shut down at night so they can get in there and do the work that has to be done. They need to put in new signals. The only two lines have decent signals are the L line and the 7 line.
All these delays.
Okay, you have your signals. You have signals there that are from the 1930s, 1920s. All this
Fix
needs to be
those,
ripped out
please.
And replaced. And until they do that, I don't care how many new trains they put on the line, you're still going to have delays. So they put that idea up there to shut the system down. It was a very good idea. I know it's going to inconvenience some people, but... You run better buses at night to accommodate those 85,000.
Well, first of all, Kevin, when I argued with Kevin about this, he says, oh, you don't think I should run the system? And I said, all right. He says, well, look, if you vote for me, I'll send a car to pick you up on Monday night. So I said, I'll vote for him. I'll vote for him.
Did you get your car?
Well, I'm waiting. When he is president of the transit system, yes, I will get my car. So you think it's a good idea, Kevin?
You know, I think at this point, I mean, I know New York City has always been famous for running a 24-hour system, but they've let the system get to a point where I think they really need to do that shutdown, not on the weekends, like I said, okay, because you need 24 hours on the weekends, except for Thursday through Saturday night.
Well, yeah, because otherwise it would impact the bars.
Of course, it would impact the economy of New York, of course.
Exactly.
New York has nightlife.
But like from Sunday night through by Wednesday, you can shut it down from 12 to 5 and just run buses parallel to those lines.
Buses.
I would do it if I was the mayor, if I was the head of the transit. I would push for that.
Why aren't you running?
Get the system working right.
Joe, you going to weigh in? What's your thought on that?
You know, my only thing is like...
Now, keep in mind, he's got a car. Okay, just keep that in mind.
Logistically.
I would think that they really need to keep some kind of underground transportation running just to service the boroughs. Like, they need to have, like, you know...
Keep one line running? Is that what you're saying?
Have some kind of short service where you don't have to take a bus from Manhattan to Queens, but you can take the train from Manhattan to Queens one stop and then connect with the bus. Because try to connect with those buses...
So you're saying something to bridge... The boroughs.
Yes.
So you need an underground system to bridge the boroughs and then... Mr. Scott, can you weigh in on that?
I understand his point, but you see, we're talking about, you know, late at night, after 12 o'clock. After 12 o'clock midnight...
The 1.5 percenters.
There's not a lot of traffic out, and you could easily run a shuttle bus over the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, the Queensboro Bridge.
What about in the winter?
Bridge.
What about in the winter, babe?
Yeah,
okay, you're talking about that. In the winter, you want to be waiting out there for a bus that can't get through the snow, the winter, and the rain, and the waiting for a bus outside, trying to get across a bridge. I don't want to go across a bridge in a bus.
Listen, see, you guys live, I'm not talking about everybody, but I know, Mike, you live in Manhattan. You're used to the subways. I'm out here in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our subways are very, very spread out. We don't have the same kind of subway service. So what you're talking about, getting out there having to wait for a bus in the snow and the rain, I do that. Okay, we have to do that out here in Queens. So that's nothing out of the ordinary.
All right, listen. You want the rest of us to suffer just because you do in the
outer
boroughs?
No. I want a working, reliable, viable subway system. And you're not going to get that until they can get down there and do the proper work.
All right, well,
so, I mean... You can't have it both ways. Either you want a 24-hour system, the way it's running now, or you want a system that's going to be reliable and run properly.
Mystery guest, I want you'd like you to weigh in.
Well, I think, you know, the 24 is taxing on the system and maintenance, and I think it does affect things like daily delays. I think it has to contribute in some small percentage. Maybe it's less than 1.5, but I think all of those ill repairs or disrepair situations are affecting the greater.
So, in other words, you would vote for Mr. Scott too, is what you're saying, basically.
I think if you're going to do this kind of intensive upgrade, where it's not just on the weeknights.
It's going to take 15 years, though.
Where it's not just, well, it's only going to take 12 years if you no, get rid 15, of, if you would, add the weekends, if you include the weekends.
Well, yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it would okay. be 15 years.
It's 15 years. You know,
they do it in London. They do it in Paris. They do it in
those
Moscow.
Aren't real, those aren't
these
real
are
cities.
These are major cities.
They aren't real.
It could be done.
They aren't real.
They tell you not to pinch your fingers between the doors.
Mm. Well, I got to tell you, I went to Russia.
In France.
And you go to the subway in Russia, it's like going to a museum. It is so beautiful. It is full of art, and it's clean, and it's arched ceilings, and it's sculptures. So, yeah.
Dude, our subways, no matter what we do, will never be clean. And I have to tell you.
I agree with you.
I look at
maybe shutting them down.
Listen, Mayor Bill de Blasio. I'm going to sound like one of those guys on New York 1.
You sound like one of those guys on the Young Turks.
There you go. Here's the thing.
Old Turk.
Maybe cleaning for one-fifth of the day would help.
We live in a progressive society, we believe, New York, where we have things where... We even have composting now in certain parts of the outer boroughs.
In Queens.
Yes.
Composting shop in someone's house.
Compost? You compost?
We have the bins and stuff. When we first got them, there was some out. Do you know, on the 2-block radius that I have to walk from my house to the bus, when the garbage goes out on a Monday night, maybe there's 5, including mine, that put out the compost bins. They're still throwing the regular garbage. And here's another thing. Vernando... At 909 Third Avenue, where I work.
Fernando.
Okay, the management company got fined because of the non-recyclables that were being put into the regular garbage, okay?
That's good, okay. How are you tying this all into the subway system?
Because what happens is people don't give a damn. They don't. And so they can turn around and shut the subways down, take 15 years,
yeah.
Make them look like the Taj Mahals, and the slobs that are from the guys blowing their nose.
Okay.
Spitting.
All right, if we're going
to
put, just let's say the setup of the subway system, people not respecting the system, and that's a whole other conversation.
We need the midnight meat train.
Getting the system running. What's the midnight meat train? What the hell is that?
That means that there's this one train that comes along.
Right.
And basically all the slobs that are doing stuff on the subway between 11 and midnight, instead of having the hooks to hold on to, they have meat hooks.
You know, you're a strange man. But the point I'm making is taking care of the subways, that's a whole other conversation. But I do think that there is got to be something done to the New York subway system. I think the same thing with you know, they got to figure out something with Con Ed, too. Every winter, we have all these blowouts. I mean, we have blowouts throughout the year, but every winter, because we're using salt, we have all these blowouts with the stuff that goes into the system.
Why would you put something down that you know is going to corrode?
Because the wire. We have giant, huge things of salt that we spent money on that's sitting there on the side.
That's why
of
we
the
let
city.
Rover walk on the grates.
Listen.
So if he gets shot,
listen to me. Listen, the reason that the bus thing is not going to happen, okay, the thing that Mr. Scott would make happen if he were president, is because
mayor or governor.
Or mayor, whatever. He's
going to make it happen.
Top
it's
dog.
Gonna happen.
But it, the argument against it is all of the diesel buses and the pollution and putting those buses in.
Hold on.
Think that's going to...
There's not a lot
because,
of diesel buses anymore.
Tesla buses.
The buses they have today, they're not like the buses of 30 years ago, Mike. They have clean air buses, hybrid buses, and we're talking about night service. All right? We're talking about night service. I mean, the pollution thing, that's negligible. That, I don't even consider that to be a current argument. When you compare it to the fact that these subways are basically falling apart,
wow.
You know, you're talking about 85,000 people. You could run buses that parallel those subway lines. You have that now.
Well, we could always, you know, I think Cuomo has a plan that if they do something like that, they're going to use homeless people while the buses are idling to inhale the fumes and process it, so this way to cut down on the pollution.
You're a stupid.
It's like
man.
It's called the human filter program.
The human filter program, yes.
The reason why, I'm going to tell you the reason why you have this homeless problem is because the law in New York State, this right to shelter law that was passed, I think was it 1978, whereas if you're in the city and you don't have, you come here and you don't have a place to sleep, the city has to put you up. Not every other city has this, but New York City has it. And what you have is you have a lot of neighboring cities that are bringing or giving bus tickets to their homeless to bring them here to New York City because we have to house them.
Well,
or the right to shelter law.
And it was really funny because on a conversation they had on some other public radio station, they were talking about a lot of the Puerto Ricans who were coming up before Thanksgiving,
right,
kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, it's like this one guy is like, "Oh yeah, I was staying with somebody, and then they couldn't house me anymore, and I was gonna have to live on the streets. But now I'm living in a hotel in Williamsburg."
That's right.
And somebody who's in the travel business, like I am, I'm thinking the hotels in Williamsburg, those are not cheap hotels.
So you're saying if I'm on the street, I can live in a Williamsburg hotel?
Maybe, yeah.
All right, well,
if you go to one of those intake centers and they don't have room in a shelter, they will put you in a hotel. They're constantly renting out hotel rooms, and it's gotten worse under de Blasio.
Well, it's like, you know, I was.
Well, he
like,
won't have that money anymore.
My girlfriend was coming after me with the broom when I was listening to that segment. I started singing, "I want to live in America." Anyway, there you go. Isn't Puerto Rico America?
His girlfriend's a Latina, just so you know.
There you go. So.
In New York, it's very, I think this mayor is just a little too liberal. He's spending money like it's an open water faucet, but that's going to come to a sharp end soon, especially this tax law gets passed.
The tax law.
Yeah, if this tax law gets passed and they eliminate SALT, that's a deduction for state and local taxes, the governor and the mayor are going to be under tremendous pressure to at least not have any tax increases, if not lower the taxes. This is going to cost a lot of people a lot of money. And the way de Blasio's spending money, I mean, it's very noble. He wants pre-kindergarten. Now he wants pre-kindergarten. All that's costing money.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Do you think that if that should go through, and he's proposing that whole thing where he wants to tax the rich so that he could get the people who need free Metro cards, do you think that'll happen, or World War III will ensue?
To be honest with you, I hope it doesn't happen. I think the city, I think this man has just gotten, he's taken the city on a way too progressive path. I mean, he's spending a lot of money. I mean, he's kids now don't even have to pay for lunch in school. Lunch is now free. It's very noble what he's trying to do, but the city and government can only do but so much. The taxpayers are being taxed crazy in this city, and this guy's just spending money, progressive, there's a limit.
But here's the deal, you know, if you are of a certain, that's why they call him Mr. Scott, that's why he's going to be president of the trans system, but here's the thing, now, you think about this, what is happening to New York? What's happening in New York is, in New York, especially Manhattan, but it's happening in Manhattan, it's already happening in Brooklyn, it's happening in the Bronx, where, you know, already, and we're not even talking about owning, we're talking about renting. You know, rents are becoming more and more exorbitant, you know, crazy. So crazy, it's crazy to live. You have to be making a lot of money to even live here, okay? And the only breaks, as you well know, are for the wealthy. So if New York becomes increasingly, there are no more ghettos in New York, you know, not really, and whatever's there is deeply,
it's there. They got
deeply
a ghetto there before the rents go
you
up.
You go to South Queens.
All right.
Well, the point I'm making is, not in Manhattan, but in
New York.
Here's what I'm getting at. Okay, I'm saying in Manhattan there isn't, but what I'm getting at is eventually. Okay, if New York has such high taxes, people will not be able to afford to be here. You cannot afford to even own a building where people aren't paying
money.
Well,
they're going to say that the rents will have to come down.
You have to say hello.
That's what you see happening. So you don't see it becoming just a town. I see Manhattan becoming a town for the rich. That's what I see.
Or the flip could happen, and because you can't have the property taxes, right? Because you don't get to deduct it anymore. Well, then all of a sudden, people are like, okay, we'll go to some other city.
How does this tax law affect you, Mr. Scott?
Well, you know, I'm fortunate in the way that I'm retired and I have a state pension. I don't pay.
I'm talking about property tax. Property tax.
Property tax. Well, if the house plan goes through and the Senate doesn't mess with it, they'll be able to deduct up to $10,000 of your property tax. My property tax, thanks to our mayor. I pay about $5,000 a year in property tax, so I'll still be able to probably write that off. But if the Senate plan goes through, they're saying no property tax either, then I won't be able to write that off anymore. And that's a hit I'm going to have to take. So it's not good. It's not good. And de Blasio has hit the homeowners just about every year with a property tax increase. It's crazy under this mayor, man. It really is. He's spending money, and he's done nothing for the homeowners or the taxpayers. The homeowners are paying half the city budget with these property taxes.
See, with what's going on?
I just got a property tax bill last week. And they went up on the property taxes, and they went up on it retroactive from June. So I got to send them even more money this coming January 1st. It's crazy.
I think you retired too early, Mr. Scott.
And he lives in Queens. Keep this in mind. Well, you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. And the music you're listening to is the only kind of music you can be listening to in the times we live in. You need to have this. You need to support listener-sponsored radio. You need to be able to hear opposing views. Information, music, life is like science fiction. Make a pledge. 516-620-3602. You can call right now. There are people standing by that will take your call. Just say, I want the fall 2017 DGM.
$35.
Mr. Scott, I assume you made your pledge. Yeah, that laugh.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
in the mail.
Yeah, it's in the mail. 516-620-3602. Fall 2017.
See, now that's
DGM.
That's one of my New Year's Eve rituals.
What is it? To make a pledge?
I make my pledges, yearly pledges.
I hope you call it to night shift.
I do for WBAI.
What about night shift? Did you see that Dodge there, mystery guest?
No,
I'm
at this final hour.
I just make a pledge. Quiet place,
I could feel
hour
it.
Hour has come to bid farewell to one of its brightest
hopes. WFUV, which is forever.
The other stations
yes,
here on the station.
It's a different.
There's no
radio
yes
station.
Because
it's different radio. They do music.
Whatever. This is DGM. This is what you should be pledging. Don't be mentioning other stations during a marathon while we're asking for money. You will be struck down.
WNYC. I make a pledge.
Oh my God.
516. Everybody gets equally.
I'm potting his mic down.
Everybody gets.
Listen to
bucks.
The DGM.
As everybody gets to, I make a pledge of 200 bucks in the station once a year.
516-620-3602.
You kill Max.
Fall
New Year's Eve.
2017.
You give Max stress.
DGM.
The poor guy used to have a full head of hair. He looked healthy.
Has ever been gracious to those who have loved her, have fought for her, and have defended her honor even to the death. It is not in the memory of man that this beleaguered, unfortunate, but nonetheless proud community has found a braver, more gallant young champion than this Afro-American who lies before us.
DGM. Fall 2017.
$35. Make the pledge online or talk to somebody.
Did you ever really listen to
516-620-3602.
we must honor him for what he was and is. A prince. Our black shining prince.
The 70 billion people of Earth, where are they hiding? The 70 billion people of Earth, where are they hiding?
I'm not hypnotized now, am I?
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
You're tuned to listener sponsored radio. WBAI.
Says who? Says who? Who says that? Nobody says that.
I think we lost Mr. Scott.
I'm sorry.
In the music. In the DGM.
So I was listening to this interesting debate on Curb Your Enthusiasm with JB Smooth and Larry David. We're talking about the do-rag. And J.B. Smooth says a do-rag is currently considered an accessory like a pocket handkerchief.
Okay.
Would you agree or disagree?
Well, you know, it's interesting, guys. I just had a conversation with Tony Bates, program director here at WBAI.
Yes.
And, you know, he's someone who has, you know, long hair and his dreads now, you know, like I do. And he, you know, I've experienced, okay, wearing a bandana. And how people react to you when you wear a bandana, you know, and what that represents. If you're a black guy with a bandana on, okay.
As opposed to a do-rag.
Do-rag, bandana, they're very kind of interchangeable. You know, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
Do-rag, I'm just saying, that's what we were talking about today.
Okay.
I've done the do-rag.
Yes.
Okay. And I've done the bandana. I've had some experiences. Okay. I wore a do-rag once to a meeting.
Yeah.
Was a mistake, let me just say.
Was that a business meeting?
It was.
No, I don't think it's. See, that it's not like a pocket hanky.
I wore a do-rag to work one day.
Oh, yeah.
And what happened?
And they my boss asked me why I was wearing that.
Mm-hmm. See, there it is. You can't wear a do-rag.
See, you wearing a do-rag. I wore a do-rag to a meeting.
I did.
It was like when I used to wear dashikis to an all-boys Catholic high school.
As a white guy.
As a white guy.
I like that.
There you go.
I like that. Young Joe.
I got in trouble too in my junior year.
Dashiki.
I came back. I had my afro picked.
You had
out,
an afro, yeah, yeah. Joe, you get that Italian fro, aren't you? Well, you're not Italian, are you? You're Sicilian.
Yes.
I once wore a burqa to a gala at Lincoln Center.
A burqa.
Yeah, an Afghani burqa from the 70s. It was vintage.
What was?
It was purple.
What was the?
Who did you? Was it? Did you wear the burqa and the durag?
No, I didn't. But if I was in my durag phase, I might have wore it under the burqa.
Oh, that's a good name for an album.
Durag phase. That is a good name for an album.
Or under the burqa, that's a good name.
I was wearing high-heeled sandals, which revealed a lot of foot and toe. So it was sort of not appropriate. I was bad in like two different ways that day.
Foot.
Both the seen and the unseen.
And toe.
Slowly, my fate is turning. You've taken all that I've got. You've taken all that I've got. You've taken all that I've got to give. Somewhere the road is turning, and I can feel the yearning. You've taken all that I've got. You've taken all that I've got. Taking all that I've got to give. Slowly, our luck is changing. My thoughts are slowly ranging. You've taken all that I've got. You've taken.
The 70 billion people of Earth, where are they hiding?
I think there's no place to hide.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. Joe Masseri.
Yes?
You have something fantastic to tell us.
Fantastic.
It's fantastic. Now, first of all, before you get to the fantasticness, if you were enjoying some of that music, that's what we call DGM, which stands for Damn Good Music, and it's part of the premium we're offering tonight here on the show, where you send in, you can call 516-620-3602. You say, I just would like to give $35 to get a CD with over 6.5 hours of music that we call the Fall DGM 2017. Fall DGM 2017. And for $35, you can get that. And it's pretty amazing, and it's a pretty amazing value. But I've got all kinds of music on here. We've culled the best of what we've been playing over the last 2-3 months here on the show. And it's definitely something that will take you somewhere, which is essentially the definition of DGM. So, make a pledge, 516-620-3602. People are standing by.
Life is like science fiction.
I sound like that guy that used to do the thing for Disney. Anyway, a new type of 3D printing ink has a special ingredient. bum, bum, bum.
You need my glasses.
Live bacteria.
3D printing with live bacteria.
Correct. Materials made with this living ink could help clean up environment.
Living ink.
Living ink.
Living ink.
As opposed to the gas that comes out of your butt, which is living stink. So there you go. Could help clean up environmental pollution, harvest energy via photosynthesis, or help make medical supplies. Researchers reported online December 1st in Scientific Advances. The study shows for the first time, that 3D printed bacterium can make useful materials.
3D printed bacterium. Yes.
This is cited by Ann Meyer, a biologist at Delta University of Technology in the Netherlands, who wasn't involved in the work.
Deep in the Netherlands.
Who wasn't involved in the work.
Okay, talk to me.
The newly concocted printing ink is a polymer. Mixed, called a hydrogel, that is blended with bacteria and a broth of nutrients that helps bacterial cells grow and reproduce. Eventually, the bacteria use up all of this built-in sustenance, says study coordinator Manuel Schnaffner, a material scientist at ETH Zurich. But the ink is porous, so dipping a 3D printed structure in more broth can reload it with
more
nutrients.
Broth? Is that like soup from Mordor?
Yeah, more broth.
More broth.
There you go.
We drink our more broth before we get the Eye of Agamotto.
I'm sorry, what?
And then it becomes a troll or something or whatever. And there you go. Schaffner and colleagues printed a grid embedded with a breed of bacteria.
He said coughing.
Called Pseudomonas putida.
Pseudomonas putida. That's a good name for a band right there.
The hazardous chemical phenol. That's good. When the researchers placed this lattice in phenol-contaminated water, the bacteria completely purified the water in just a few days.
What?
Yeah. That's kind of weird. So you can print a 3D like boat and put it in Newtown Creek, and it should eat up all the bad stuff. So we should have, like, kids should have boat races with these 3D things. There you go. The result has big. What's the echo?
Big.
Implications for the application of 3D printing to clean up toxic chemicals, Meyer says. Lattices packing various types of chemical-hungry bacteria could create special water filters or help clean up oil spills. And unlike free-floating bacteria, cells locked in a 3D grid could be plucked out of cleaned-up water and reused somewhere else. Tissue that you can wipe your butt with and then use again, because like that would be good, like if they put the bacteria in the toilet tissue and it ate up the stuff.
Stop.
And then you can reuse it again.
Stop. Eternal teepee. That's like composting.
Eternal teepee. That's it. That's the perfect name.
Eternal
teepee.
Eternal teepee.
You can wipe like there's no tomorrow.
Yes, because there isn't. Eternally yours. That's disturbing that you two are bonding on this concept.
It's a million. It's a $1 billion. There you go. Making your sphincter great again. Eternal TP.
There it is, Eternal TP.
Wipe and then today, they make it wipe today. Tomorrow, wipe forever.
Exactly,
after.
It's like the Mitchum of.
It's like you can leave
Klinger.
Your Eternal TP in your will to other family members.
Stop, that's disturbing. It's like, oh. Yes, this ain't the bacteria of my grandfather.
There you go.
Now it's in my underwear.
There you go. We create a new holiday called it sphincterish.
You know, just
sphincter mask.
Did stop. You remember we had sphincterine? They had that
yes,
on his.
Sphincterine, had sphincterine. Yes. Yeah. You could have some eternal TP and sphincterine.
You don't need. You just pour some sphincterine on the eternal
but
TP.
But it might kill the bacteria in it.
That's a fancy cocktail for bacteria.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to kill the bacteria. You want to wipe first and then use the sphincterine.
Joe, finish the story.
We're just going places.
You are.
Some guy's
going to
file an IP tomorrow over this conversation.
ETP. Go ahead.
Bacteria can be genetically modified to produce various proteins and other substances.
Damn. Oh, wow.
Humans need. So 3T
takes
printed
bacteria, turns it into protein for you.
Materials may
That's
have
disturbing.
Many other medical uses, too. Grohl imagines to a kind of smart Band-Aid.
Stop.
Eternal TP.
Stop.
There you go. He just
smart Band-Aid.
Infused with medical secreting bacteria.
Medical secreting bacteria.
To spread healing.
Yes, medical secreting. And has medical secreting bacteria spreads healing.
Or you could...
Get yours now. And that's not all.
Actually, this would have very good uses in the mortuary profession, because you could create a suit like with this material out of flesh eating bacteria, and when somebody dies, instead of embalming them,
you just lay on
wrap
them
in the bacteria eating flesh eating bacteria.
Why?
Cloth.
Instead of cremation,
yeah,
it's like a slow,
yeah,
slow
you don't
cremation.
No, you don't have to pollute. No embalming fluids.
It's, yeah, it's just
it's
you know,
disturbing how your imagination works. It's
yeah.
just sort of like you've seen a lot of horror movies.
The carnivorous. That's a horror movie. The carnivorous shroud.
You know, finish
Hungry
the story, Joe.
That is. I'm done.
Are you done?
I'm done. You're Stick done. A fork in me. I'm
there
done.
It is.
Right. Life is like Joe science fiction.
Somebody's calling. I didn't give out the number. Hello,
you're on the air. I'm
going
to see if there's some universal TP in the bathroom.
Hello.
You need to turn off your radio.
Turn down your radio.
Hello?
Is it Chris Taylor?
I don't know. Who is
it? 1 minute, we can have a radio.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so cool. The delay is so cute.
I used to. Hello? I don't know. Hello?
Hello, who is this?
We're in a vortex.
Long time listener.
From
the days of Chris Taylor.
Oh, from the days of Chris Taylor.
Yeah.
That's the name of the TV series on Netflix, by the way.
What?
The days of Chris Taylor. Yes, who is this?
How far I go back.
What? How far you go back?
Well, remember when y'all was talking about that brown Vaseline?
Oh my God, you go back to brown Vaseline. That's going back. And what's your name? What do you call yourself now?
I'm still the prophet.
Oh, you're the prophet? I remember you.
Damn.
Okay. So what? Why are you up so late? What? You know, you didn't get that life happening yet?
Painting. Ghost.
You're painting?
Yep.
What kind of painting are you doing?
Acrylic. And sometimes, you know, I say water-based paint.
Okay. Now, what kind of piece are you working on? Is it abstract or real life? What are you working on?
No, I'm doing my grandkids' sketches, you know. Like a collage, family collage.
Is this going to be for the holidays as a gift?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, listen, when you're an artist, you make your own gifts. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
There's nothing better. Nothing better.
Nothing like that you say come from the heart.
That's right. And you know what? When you hand it out, you say, this, first of all, this is not just a piece of art. This is an heirloom.
That's right.
I'm creating an heirloom. That's right. I'm with you.
My grandfather made this for me.
That's right. That's right. They'll be able to say that. Yes, my grand. And they'll put it over the mantle. Tell them that's this. And you give it to the young ones. You say, listen, you must get a home with a mantle.
Mm-hmm. We call it the past, the present, the future.
There it is. So, Prophet, how long you been listening to WBAI? How many years has it been?
Oh, man, I lost time.
I understand. So now, have you been listening all this time? Are you intermittent? What's your story?
No, like, how should I put it? I've been, like, off and on, like, due to health, you know.
I understand. But you're still there. You're hanging in.
Whatever you do, don't grow old.
Well, you don't get old being no fool, though.
No. There's a difference between an old and a fool now.
That's true.
There's an old fool, there's a young fool, and there's a fool, like the president.
Oh, I understand.
The ageless fool.
Fool.
Oh, it was a question I meant to ask you. Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
And now, what was the question?
That's what happened. Your mind, you know, you can use that on your grandkids. If you have grandkids, you use that on a lot.
I don't regret it.
Oh, my God, it's slipping. What was it you asking me?
All right, well, let me ask you a question. What made you start listening then? What is it that, what makes you listen? And this is for the benefit of those who are thinking about pledging, who either have recently discovered, who have not been listening for decades like yourself.
You're very informative, and like I said, life is like science fiction. It's like life imitate art. It's like that. I miss that.
Okay, you miss how life and art are connected. Is that what you're saying?
No. You used to do like life is like science fiction.
Yes, of course.
And how you say, and most of it become reality. You know, like art imitate life, life imitate art.
This is true.
Yeah. Oh, this is what I meant to say. You forget, the earth don't need us. We need the earth.
This is true. We can destroy the systems that keep us
sustained. Keep forgetting.
That's true.
And they're putting cement over everything. That's hurting a whole lot of people. I see a whole lot of people walking with canes now. I used to travel through, used to be like, I would say, sand, you know, grass.
Yes.
Everything's cement. Then when it rains, everything floods up.
Right. Well, what now? Having lived as long as you have, because I'm assuming you're definitely older than us here. What's your take? What do you see happening as someone who has lived through many administrations and many machinations?
Well,
where do you think we're headed?
We adapt. Because think back to slavery. Came over in a boat like sardines over an ocean. Thousands of miles, and we still made it, and we're still here.
Yes.
We adapt.
Okay. So your prognosis is that we will overcome what we're going through now.
Right.
All right. That's a good prognosis. I'll take it.
What's that? Oh, you're down in the military.
I understand. And
that's what everybody should do. You know that? Join the military.
And then what happens?
And then they have guns. They're always supplied them with guns. And it turns on the establishment.
Well, you know, at what age did they stop taking you to the military, Joe?
Somewhere around 40.
Oh, really?
30, 35 or 36.
After that, no good? They don't want no old people in the military?
Because they think for themselves. There's an old saying, old soldiers don't die, young ones do.
Old stories what?
Old soldiers
don't die, young ones do.
Yeah, good to be old.
I never heard that one. That's interesting.
You know, but now everybody has to, all the kids have to at 18, register for selective service here in the U.S.
What, they have to what?
You still have to register for selective service.
Do you really?
Yes.
Since when?
Kidding. I thought they cut that out the draft.
They cut that out a long time ago.
There is no draft, but you still have to register.
I didn't hear about that.
Yes.
When did that happen?
High school. They give you the
I never got that.
I got it.
I didn't get it.
Where is that?
They didn't get it to me.
Mike Sargent, he lives at... well, you're too old to draft now.
That's right. They ain't going to draft my ass. That's it.
So, yeah, that'll help you, Mike. Hey.
That's right.
Probably draft me right now.
I would go.
What's that? What's your question, sir?
What's that radio station?
Supposed to draft me right now. I would go.
You would go? I understand, because you get a gun.
And this is another one that kills me. You have a nuclear war, and they say, we'll stop the bomb to let you know. What's that going to do?
Totally breaking up. I can't understand nothing you're saying. Say that again.
No, they, how you say, like, they used to let that siren off every day, you know, if we get invaded or whatever.
Who's going to invade us?
The Canadians.
Who?
Gonna invade
the Canadians,
ourselves.
That's true. They could invade.
Yeah.
You see like that happening?
Yo, Chuck a Duck.
Chuck.
Chuck a Duck? What?
Remember that? I don't know how old you are. Well, like in school, they used to teach us, you know, you put your head under the desk, da da da, the old turtle syndrome, ba da da da.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've heard that. I've seen that in movies.
Yeah. Wow, what good is that going to do? Radiation goes through everything.
Well, yeah, but that's just, you know, that's like a placebo.
Yeah, placebo, right.
That's what that is, just to make you think that there's something, there's some way in which you could prepare for nuclear war. You know, turn your back to the radiation so your skin will be blown off from the back. Now this is the mystery guest getting ready in the morning.
They speed up the film. And Joe and your mystery guest Matt, I'm at that age now. I say I gotta do a little touch up, but now.
You're gonna do the touch up now. All right. Well, he's painting his grandkids right now. He's doing a painting of his grandkids, Joe. There it is. So this is he's been listening for over 20 years.
Wow.
Old time.
Sorry.
In fact, you used to have the young kid there. What was his name? Military guy.
Danny, of course. Yeah. Danny, yes. Danny. Yeah. Danny went into the military. He became Marine. Became a sergeant.
Well, he used to drop by.
What?
He used to drop by, see, you know.
Yes, he did. He would stop by. Yeah, well, he doesn't live in the state now, but he would stop by. Yes, he would. Danny's done very well for himself.
I'm reminiscing.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, you start reminiscing.
Yeah, listen. You remember old Macy and...
Yeah, old Macy. Oh, my God.
Old Macy and Jeff and...
Wow.
Yes, and Monroe...
The guy you said you met, he had glass of scotch tape.
Who? Oh, you talk about, Daoud.
Daoud, you're right.
Daoud showed up to say hello to us at some event, and he's got like one piece of glass missing from his glasses, and the other side is scotch tape. And he's like, hey, how you doing? And he shows Chris his knife. And it's like, But Daoud had, Daoud was in the World Trade Center during when 9/11 happened. He had a whole story he told us. He helped people get out through the stairwell and everything. Yeah, he was a 9/11 hero.
Wow.
So,
he just took anything, did he?
He what? What'd you ask me?
I said he didn't get sick or anything from being...
Not that I know of, but I mean, this was years ago. He told us a story, you know, like, you know, within the first year of 9/11 happening, he told us what his whole, because you know BAI was right down there.
We were there.
Yeah, we were there. We were inhaling every week.
We were there.
Yeah, and BAI was on Wall Street, 120 Wall Street.
Right.
So for
a week for the cleanup took like 2 years, but like for at least the first six
that
months.
On a Tuesday, and we walked in on a Thursday.
That's right. We came in on a Thursday morning.
2 days after.
Wow.
2 days after. Well, they wouldn't let you go all the way down. You had to like stop, and then walk. Because the subways weren't going down that far, and
there were no cars.
We had to walk like 10 blocks. Yeah.
It was like apocalypse, huh?
Yeah, it was post-apocalyptic.
So you were there once a week?
We were there once a week, yes, we were.
Starting at 2 days after.
And we went on... What,
yeah, like two... was at least 2 days after. What's that?
Was that when we went on like at 11 and we did the little break for the news and then we came back?
No, we weren't... Because 9/11 happened, what, on a Tuesday, right?
Yeah, but our show was on a Thursday.
It was on a Thursday at that time, yeah. Was
morning
it still
Thursday? Night.
At night, 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Wow. So you went on a Thursday.
Yes.
I remember walking
in. So that wasn't even 2 days after.
And you know the only store that was open in the area across from the world? McDonald's.
Yeah, McDonald's is still happening.
And they had like the World Trade Center. They had the World Trade Center memorabilia in the window, and people were like, who could get into the neighborhood were like buying it. Like I remember you seeing all like the stuff in there. It was please don't stop.
Well, they were selling bricks. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, bricks.
Selling bricks.
Yeah.
I actually have still have this the desktop picture on my computer at work. Is the photo I took of what's the name of the church that's right there?
Oh yeah,
St. Mark's.
Yeah, church. It's famous church. Yeah.
Yeah, I have it covered all in soot. The white ash. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Yeah.
Did you put this music on intentionally?
Yes.
It was not a Mercury, you know. What do you call those called? Plaster?
What did
in
you
the
say?
Plaster?
No, the fluorescent bulbs.
Oh, yeah, the fluorescent bulbs.
Oh, yeah.
Like the mercury, yeah. There's a lot of mercury in those.
Yeah.
I was thinking, when we was growing up, we used to have the calendar.
Yeah, we did.
Fast food with the mercury in it. We used to play with that all the time. I said, wow. What's that?
Playing with poison.
What was it that you would play with?
They don't make those calendars no more. That was so easy way to get rid of someone. You can get mercury.
Well, even the old thermometers. Mercury thermometers.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, Monster. What was the other one? B-Spot.
What, Joe, do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, remember they say, would you rather have live in a bunker?
No, listen, we're not quite there. You know, we came in a different time.
No. You was asking people, your guests, what would it was if they had a choice to live.
Oh, that show you're talking about. Yes. After the apocalypse. Yes, of course. Yes. Do you want to live in the apocalypse? Of course. Yes, of course.
All the news they sell are not gone. It's almost like that now. Like
yes.
You're saying, super rich.
Well, it's interesting the future we're heading to. Like they've kind of pivoted us. If America is a ship, we've been steered into a certain direction.
Yeah, that's what I say. We will adapt.
We're going right for the falls.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like Katharine Hepburn and Humphrey Bogart and.
You know, it's interesting. It's sort of like there was a time where, you know, there's so many countries that are progressive in different ways in different areas where they've got progressive use
progressive.
Of energy and progressive in this area and they're progressive with their cars. They're progressive with, you know, how they handle their food and this and that and progressive in this type of technology. We're like, this whole administration is not anything about progressing other than financial gain. There's nothing from that larger spiritual, you know, like, oh, we can be more, you know, eco-friendly if we do this, and we can be switching to that. You know, I don't
that's
think
denial.
The idea is, you know.
I mean, plus, look at the denial of the arts. They didn't show up
well,
to the Kennedy Center.
That's what I'm
Awards.
Saying. There's nothing larger of importance than money. Money is the god that is running this country.
Mm-hmm.
It even says so on the dollar.
There it is.
Yep.
You tune to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5. And the music, if you like it, it's DGM. Fall 2017. $35 pledge. 516-620-3602. Fall 2017.
Me huló. Maya, maya.
Life is like science fiction. Viruses in bats may have mixed and matched genes to create the virus that gave rise to the totally deadly SARS outbreak in 2003, a new study suggests.
What?
And it could happen again. All of the ingredients needed to create a new SARS virus are found among viruses currently infecting horseshoe...
A new SARS virus.
Bats. Researchers reported November 30th in the PLOS Pathogens.
Now, do they have to bite you, or they can... What do they do?
The viruses are poised to cause future outbreaks, says virologist Ralph Braid of the University of North Carolina School of Medicine in Chapel Hill, who is... What? Again, who is not involved in the study.
There it is.
So, we can't let our guard down. Severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS, is caused by a type of corneovirus. After the first human cases of SARS was recorded in 2002 in Guangdong Province in southern China, a global epidemic of the disease sickened more than 8,000 people and killed 774 in 2003. In that outbreak, mast palm... Civet cats sold in...
Civet cats?
Yeah, S-C-I-V-E-T. Civet cats? Palm civet cats... sold in live animal markets, passed the virus to people. It wasn't clear whether civets were the initial source of the virus or they caught it from some other animal. Since then, evidence has been building, implicating species of horseshoe bats as the origin. Until now, though, corneovirus...
The bats had bit the cats.
Kind of, yeah, you know. Corneovirus isolated from the bats were genetically distinct
bit the cats.
For the one that caused the 2003 bats. Outbreak, suggesting
bit
that bat strains weren't the direct ancestor of SARS.
It's the bat strains.
The new strains are more similar to the new version of SARS than were previously identified bat viruses, says Matthew Freeman, a virologist of
the bat virus
of Baltimore, Maryland. By analyzing the new virus's complete genetic makeup, she and her colleagues retraced the steps that might have given rise to the original SARS virus. A few spots in the virus's DNA seem particularly prone to rearrangement, so remixing happens often. The study suggests that recombinant between viruses has shaped the evolution of the SARS.
Evolution or evolution?
Evolution. Trying to head off that jump by getting rid of the bats is not a solution, says Freeman.
Killing the bats won't do it, basically. What's it?
Bats perform many important ecological tasks, such as eating insects and pollinating some plants. Coronavirus doesn't make bats sick, so studying bats' immune systems, Freeman says, could give scientists clues about how to fight the illness.
Wow.
There you go.
So in other words, you may not need to get the bat antidote for the SARS virus. Where's Adam West when you need him?
Dead. Nothing, I just yawned.
What's the phone number, Joe, to make a pledge? Why should people pledge? What is the importance in your mind of public radio? Why do you do radio? Why do you care about WBAI? There's other stations that will go unnamed that you support.
As well,
why?
Equally.
Why? Why public radio? Why is public radio more important now than ever before?
Because it's the only free, unadulterated voice in a storm of battling outlets, politicians, and a cacophony of varying opinions that just clouds the mind. And
public, so listen, public radio is clarity.
Public radio is divine clarity.
Divine clarity?
Divine clarity.
Talk to me.
So it's like an epiphany. It gives you a point of view in a very uncluttered, singular, linear fashion that allows you to tune out all the other noise around you and then go back and look at it with a more bright and clear perspective.
Got you. So in other words, you know, the information you can get on public radio will allow you to sift through that cacophony of unadulterated.
Plus it gives you something that's no longer taught out there. It gives you a sense of civics, and it gives you a sense of logical thinking.
Critical thinking.
And logical thinking.
Mm.
So that you can cut through the BS like a Jedi with a lightsaber.
I understand. All right, well, that's a pretty valid reason to support public radio.
Yes, it is.
A valid reason to support WBAI. And that is why we are listener-supported, why we are not public radio. The mandate behind Pacifica Radio is that it is community radio. It's radio for the community we represent. And while we represent a larger community, the community of Earth, we do represent New York. And we bring you information that you won't find anywhere else, not just on this show, but just in general on WBAI. So a quick question for you, Joe.
Yes.
And before the mystery guest goes to her story, what did you think about that whole Pocahontas comment thing? I mean, it's a week old, so
everything,
I mean,
is,
we just accept
totally,
these things
totally unnecessary, done for the shock value.
You think he said it for the shot? You don't think he's just an ignoramus?
I think that too, but you know, there still is a mind operating behind the facade of the puppet, and
the facade of the puppet.
Right, and there were speeches that he gave where he turned around and said, "Oh, I could be me. Well, look, I can play the politician," and he was like mocking and you know whatever. And there are times that he's done both. So, I mean, he has to be.
So you don't buy into the whole these crazy theories?
You know what? Even the most sane man likes to put on a crazy show if it's going to get him attention.
Well, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Exactly. So I think there's... if there was anything more drastic involved with his, you know, mental state, I'm sure it would be easier to get him disqualified on mental reasons if it could be diagnosed as such as impeaching him, you know? So
yeah, but can you be impeached for insanity?
No, but you could be removed.
Supposedly
from
Reagan
office.
Had Alzheimer's towards the end.
Yeah, well, and look what happened to Roosevelt with his MS and how bad it was towards the end, and supposedly Eleanor was in charge, so
my
you
goodness.
Know. But still, things happen, and, you know.
Well, nobody impeaches a president for being crazy.
Yeah, well.
I mean, of course, unfit is, you know.
Right.
How do you prove that?
Depends on how.
Is he crazy like a fox?
You know, far removed he is from a valid mental state.
No, how far removed from reality is what you're
going to say. Well, let's put it this way. I think you would agree with me on this. he might say a lot of things. And if some of the things that he said he's done, like that famous thing on the bus with Billy, whatever his name was and stuff, if he actually did that in public, in front of the cameras and stuff, I think at that point, somebody would have to say, what is up with his mental faculties? Because he could be, you know, mad as King George.
Well, I will say this, you know, if he's mad, there are many who have a similar madness.
Yeah, but there's a difference between madness and greed.
Really?
Yes.
Doesn't one create the other?
No. Because one can be mad and mentally incompetent without being, you know, greed just could be, you know, greed.
That's not a form of madness.
No.
There may be those who would argue with you.
No.
Mr. Guest?
Yeah, so when it comes to greed, I'm just wondering, is it something we would vote in or vote out of a human embryo? So I'm looking at a story in Science News. Parents may one day be morally obligated to edit their baby's genes.
And this
more or less came out a week ago. A doctor explains to a young couple that he has screened the pair's in vitro fertilized embryos and selected those that had no major inheritable diseases. The couple had specified they wanted a son with hazel eyes, dark hair, and fair skin. Then the doctor announces that he has also taken the liberty of eliminating the burden of genetic propensities for baldness, nearsightedness, alcoholism, obesity, and domestic violence.
Excellent.
The prospective mother replies that they didn't want those revisions. I mean, diseases, yes. Her husband jumps in to say, we were just wondering if it's good to leave a few things to chance. Like, you know, our bald, blind, drunk, fat, asshole son or daughter. But anyway, did I just ruin one of the things?
Ruined the seven words.
No,
there.
I didn't hit any. I just said ass.
Don't say it again. That'd be
alcohol.
That'd be okay.
The prospective mother replies that they didn't want those revisions, but the doctor reminds the would-be parents why they came to him in the first place. They want to give their child the best possible start. That's a scene from the movie Gattaca, which premiered 20 years ago in October. But thanks to recent advances in gene editing tools, such as CRISPR-Cas9, genetic manipulation of human embryos is becoming reality. Soon, designer babies, Gucci, Prada, Hermes, like those described in the film, may even become morally mandatory, some ethicists say. Gattaca's narrator tells us that such genetic manipulation of in vitro fertilized embryos has become the natural way of giving birth in the near future portrayed in the film. It has also created an underclass of people whose parents didn't buy those genetic upgrades, advantages for their children.
Until I see recently, this coming more than ever. What about you, Joe?
There's a lot of things that I know that they can edit out, but there are other things that they still don't have a clear...
That's not the point. The point is, will they edit out what they can?
Of course they will.
Go ahead, Mr.
Guest. Is it right? Is it morally or ethically right?
It's happening.
So
it's happening.
And what we don't know is that when you think about the survival of the fittest kind of thing, you know, if you're going to take a kid and edit out the alcoholism, the abusive nature, and all those other things, the kid's not going to survive in the trailer park he's going to be born into.
Well, that's
if you've got the money to make those choices, you're not in the trailer park.
Yeah. You never know.
Yeah.
No, I think it's all about preventing a child from becoming impoverished, because all of those things are linked. It's not just about being
A finish, Mr. Yes.
Until recently, that sort of fiddling with human DNA was only science fiction, an allegory, a warning against a new kind of eugenics that could pit the genetic haves and have-nots against each other. At a symposium sponsored by the Hastings Center on October 26th, before the World Conference of Science Journalists in San Francisco, ethicists and journalists explored the flip side of that discussion. Whether parents have a moral obligation to make better babies through genetic engineering.
Make better babies.
Quote unquote, better babies. Technology that can precisely change a baby's genes is quickly becoming reality. I didn't realize there was a domestic violence gene. I mean, that's when I kind of crossed the line or tippy-toed on it with the seven words you cannot say on radio. Well, I mean, you know, it's over there on that, you know, that chromosome. So technology that can precisely change a baby's genes is quickly becoming reality.
Make better babies.
Yes. This year, scientists reported using CRISPR-Cas9 in viable human embryos to fix mutations that cause heart and blood disorders. CRISPR-Cas9 acts as a molecular...
CRISPR-Cas9 sounds like a fridge.
It's an acronym slash shortened variation of a type of thing and a number. As a molecular scissors that relatively easily and precisely manipulates DNA.
Molecular scissors.
Scientists have honed and developed the tool in the roughly 5 years it has been around, creating myriad CRISPR mice, fish, pigs, cows, plants, and other creatures. Its use in human embryos has been hotly debated. Should we or shouldn't we? For many people, the fear of a class of genetically enhanced people is reason enough not to tinker with the DNA of the human germline, egg, sperm, embryos, and the cells that give rise to eggs and sperm. By all means, correct diseases, these folks say.
Isn't this how Khan came to be?
But don't add extras or meddle with characteristics that don't have anything to do with health. A panel of ethicists,
Khan, Mooney, and Singh,
convened by the U.S. National Academies of Medicine and Science, also staked out that position in February, ruling that human germline engineering might someday be permissible for correcting diseases, but only if there are no alternatives and not for enhancements. If you didn't inherit eternal TP, you don't get one. But the question, should we, may not matter much longer, predicted the Hastings Center's Josephine Johnston at the symposium. As science advances and people become more comfortable with gene editing, laws prohibiting tinkering with embryos will fall, she said, or fail, perhaps, typo. And it will be up to prospective moms and dads to decide for themselves. Will editing a baby's genes be mandatory? The kind of thing you're supposed to do? For Julian Savulescu, an ethicist at the University of Oxford, the answer is yes. Parents are morally obligated to take steps to keep their children healthy, he says, with straight teeth, mangling them with metal in their mouth for 4 years. He includes saying that vaccinating and giving them medicine while they're ill is a good thing. Genetic technologies are no different, he argues. If these techniques could make children resistant to infection, cancers, or diabetes, then parents have an obligation to use them, he says.
Fascinating.
For now, he cautions, CRISPR's safety and efficacy haven't been established, so parents shouldn't subject their children to the risks. He also points out that this sort of editing would also require in vitro fertilization, which is prohibitively costly for many people, and couples could pretty much forget about having the perfect baby through sexual intercourse. Designer darlings would have to be created in the lab.
That's the name of the company.
Designer darlings. But someday, possibly soon, gene editing could become a viable medical intervention. If CRISPR were safe and not excessively costly,
We have a moral obligation to use it to prevent and treat disease, Savulescu says. Using gene editing to cure genetic diseases is something retired bioethicist Ronald Green of Dartmouth College can get behind. I fully support the reproductive use of gene editing technology for the prevention and elimination of serious genetic diseases, Green said at a symposium. If we could use gene editing to remove the sequences in an embryo that cause sickle cell disease or cystic fibrosis, I would say not only that we may do so, but in the case of such severe diseases, we have a moral obligation to do so.
Fascinating.
But that's where the parent obligation stops, Green said. Parents and medical professionals aren't required to enhance health to make people who are better than well, he said.
That's the problem with human beings. Anything that can be used for good can be used for evil. It will be exploited. It will be taken advantage of. Isn't that not true?
Well, the other thing is, what happens if that there's a new disease on the rise and that any of these mutations that react to it and therefore become mutated that could prevent the that could bring about the resistance to the disease?
Or the end of man as we know it.
Or yeah, the reverse could happen because of the gene editing. It causes a flaw in the genetic sequencing that makes future generations more susceptible.
Or it's something that is mutated and nothing will resist it. And it can wipe out the planet.
Yep.
And then we have the Omega Man.
We're the new bees.
Well, what? I don't know. I don't know how it works in biology, but it sounds like a divisive kind of classist mechanism.
Absolutely.
It's reliant.
Reliant.
Try the emergency channels. Picture Mr. Sadek.
Slow to one-half impulse power. Let's be friends.
Slowing to one-half impulse power.
Reliant in our section, this squadron, sir. And slower.
Sir, may I quote General Order 12 on the approach of any vessel when communications have not been established?
Lieutenant, the Admiral is well aware of the regulations.
Aye, sir.
Is it possible that comm systems failed?
It would explain a great many things.
They're requesting communication, sir.
Let them meet static.
They're still running with shields down.
Of course. We are one big happy fleet. Ah, Kirk, my old friend. Do you know the Klingon proverb that tells us revenge is a dish that is best served cold? Ah, Kirk.
Just got to say, that is the future of the technology you were explaining. That is what is going to happen, Joe.
There you go.
Do you not see that? Can they not see that, Joe?
This was the world that they created.
So, do you see this as anything that should be used?
Well, you know what? It's the hubris of man, because
yes.
I heard an interview recently with these people who live on this island off of North Carolina, and they were like, "Oh, well, you know, we're 4 feet above sea level, and Trump promised to build them a wall to maybe help them, you know, seawall." Whatever kind of thing.
Maybe they misinterpreted what he said. Wall.
No, he did. And in fact, he
said, "I'm going to build a wall.
I'm going to help you get the funding to protect the island." They were looking for the seawall. He actually called them because 90% of the people on the island voted for Trump. And guess what? That seawall never came. And they got hit by one of the storms this past summer, hurricane season.
Not fake news, Joe.
No, it's not. And basically, a lot of people are like, "We're not going to stay on the island because if global warming and blah, blah, blah." And the guy who's the mayor of the place is like, "Well, you know, I don't believe in global warming. And, you know, it was a 100-year storm. And some of us are going to stick it out. And if God wants to throw another storm and doesn't want the people, I forget the name of the island, around anymore, then it's
Fool Island.
It's like ridiculous.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like, wow. And when they came back to the island,
you heard this on NPR.
Yeah. And when they came back, and when they came back to the island, all they saw was carved into the tree, Croatoan.
I wonder if the people who stick around longest get to really reap in the emergency disaster benefits.
It's just, it's insane. It's totally insane.
Like, so, if you stay there until no one else is left.
Yeah, do you get the $2 billion in, yeah, in aid kind of thing?
If you're enjoying the show and enjoying the music, 516-620-3602. We call it Damn Good Music, DGM. And this is a collection of music that's been played on the show over the last 3 months. The collection's called DGM Fall 2017. For a $35 pledge, over 6.5 hours of music, one CD gets mailed to you free for a $35 pledge. Or more. If you want to pledge more, please do.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by. Walk on by. Make believe that you don't see the tears. Just let me grieve in private. Cause each time I see you, I break down and cry. Cry, cry, cry. Walk, 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 walk.
There are three men in a boat with four cigarettes but no matches. How do they manage to smoke?
You have a story, Joe?
Yes, I do.
Are you ready? You ready?
I was born ready.
There you go. Rainbow lasting 9 hours breaks world record.
9 hours?
Yes, in bowl of Lucky Charm cereal. No, set in Yorkshire.
9 hours? 9 hours. Rainbow.
Yes. Yorkshire currently holds the title for longest rainbow on record, lasting an impressive 9 hours. But there is a new rainbow on the scene, and it could smash. When is this recording? Monday. Okay. And could smash that figure into a pot of gold, confirmed by the Guinness World Record Authority. Sorry, England. Taiwan weather has sprinted up behind with what is allegedly a 9 hour rainbow. It began in the morning of November 30th and stayed hanging in the sky all day, according to the researchers at the Chinese Culture University in Taipei. They were so excited that they photographed it from all angles.
Okay.
To collect evidence that they should beat the previous world record, which was 23 years ago. It spanned almost the entire city of Taipei. Look on this and despair, people of Sheffield.
It's pretty fantastic, Mr. Guest. A 9 hour rainbow.
There you go.
What'd you say?
Yeah, I would take a supplement if I could do that.
9 hour rainbow.
It appeared around 7:15 a.m. in the morning and lasted until after 4 p.m. Taipei time. Because of the local terrain and the seasonal northeasterly winds, moisture often collects here and condenses into rain, which causes rainbows when there is sunshine.
So it was raining for 9 hours?
I don't know. They got some pictures of it. It looks very cloudy and overcast. So,
9 hours.
Staff at the university are now gathering the evidence to submit to Guinness and prove that they have better rainbows than us.
Why aren't there so many songs about rainbows?
Was that your Kermit? This Joe singing is not on the CD, just so you know.
No Joe CD.
But you can call 516-620-3602 if you want some music that will definitely help your day.
That would be called DJM.
That's right, as opposed to DGM. This is DGM Fall 2017. $35 pledge. Sit back. Tell me if this is what you want.
Thank you.
Joe, I don't know if you heard this story today.
No, I didn't hear it. What is it?
Hey, you Joe? Is that Joe over there?
Maybe.
Joe, did you hear about this? Real Joe. Is it Real Joe?
Real Joe.
Real Joe.
As opposed to Mystery Joe?
Quentin Tarantino and J.J. Abrams team up for a Star Trek movie. You heard about this?
I told you about that before we went on air.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. You did.
No, you didn't. You did not. You didn't talk to me. Anyway, Quentin Tarantino and J.J. Abrams. Tarantino had an idea for a Star Trek movie. Pitched it to J.J. And J.J.'s like, yeah, let's do it. So...
it's going to be 8 hours and shot in 70mm.
And he's got an eye to direct it. Yeah. It says Abrams rebooted the franchise, and it says that basically Tarantino and Abrams have plans to bring together a writer's room to develop the project. And, what they were talking about doing is developing a fourth Star Trek film with Chris Hemsworth as Kirk's father. But no director was attached to that, and it's unclear whether this Tarantino development leaves that project or not. The latest installment of the last one, Star Trek Beyond, was well-liked by critics, but earned just $343 million worldwide, the lowest in the rebooted universe.
Well.
So there it is, Star Trek's future.
Is that what the one with Benjamin Cumberbatch?
Yes. No, that was the middle one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's where we're at, Joe. Are you excited?
No.
And did you hear Bryan Singer got fired?
Yes, we were talking about that.
Who was talking about that?
We were.
Who?
You and I.
No, we talked about
setting up.
We were setting up. But I didn't say anything about Singer being fired. Yeah, Bryan Singer. You know who Bryan Singer is?
He flaked.
He was a director of the original X-Men. He did
At Pupil.
He did
Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects with Kevin Spacey. Ironically, and he had been accused prior to this to making untoward advances towards young men in behind the scenes, and now. He was set to direct.
He was. There was just 2 weeks left of shooting.
Yeah. Wow. It's unexpected availability.
The Freddie Mercury biopic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, called Bohemian Rhapsody. So the decision reflected an escalating clash between singer and actor Rami Malek and was
Mr.
caused...
Mr. Robot.
Yeah, Mr. Robot. And was caused by the helmer being missing from the set, necessitating the December 1st production shutdown of the film, in which Malek stars as Freddie Mercury. Announcing the shutdown last week, producers Fox, Regency, and Graham King initially said filming was being suspended because of Singer's unexpected unavailability. Denying he acted unprofessionally, Singer claimed the studio refused to allow him to tend to a gravely ill parent, as well as to his own health. I wanted nothing more than to be able to finish the project and help honor the legacy of Freddie Mercury and Queen, he said in a statement, but Fox would not permit me to do so because I needed to temporarily put my health and the health of my loved ones first.
Yeah, well, he also lost his agent.
Did he?
Yep.
In other words, he had nobody to protect him from getting fired. How did he lose his agent?
I don't know. In one of the other versions of the story, it mentions that his agent... And also makes a comment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Say? Interesting.
It's like it's a good poster to post on the street lamp,
Well, it says the studio has about 2 more weeks of principal photography remaining, and is expected to name a new director within the next few days.
The last couple of weeks, the DP was doing most of the shooting.
Well,
so maybe they'll name him.
Wow.
Interesting.
So he left the production, but the production is still going on.
Yeah, well that
it's suspended
of money?
For a couple of, for a week or so now while they just regroup.
They reconfigure.
It's not like something that was already through post and gonna.
No. It's still 2 weeks of principal production.
So wow.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks left to filming of what, maybe six, eight, the most. That's kind of interesting. We're living in an interesting world, interesting times, Joe. We're living in, what'd you say, a Chinese curse.
There you go.
So what's next on your list, Joe Masseri?
For
life. What would you, in the coming year, would anything exciting happening?
I just, you know, I'm waiting.
I understand.
Yeah. I'm awake, I'm alert, and I'm waiting.
Awake, alert, and waiting.
Yes.
Like with like your shotgun and coffee and the dog.
There you go.
Up in the cabin. Well, you know, you always got it. When you're up in the cabin,
yeah,
awaiting the apocalypse, you got to have your dog and your shotgun and your jug. Oh, well, you make the moon, your own moonshine, right?
There you go. Making shine.
So what are your thoughts on the Tarantino J.J. Abrams? He said nothing.
Just,
you don't care.
I don't care.
Really? You don't care about Star Trek? Have you been watching Discovery? Do you like it?
No, I haven't watched Discovery because it's on, online. I don't want to watch things online.
You don't want to watch things online. No. I understand. You're a purist.
Yes.
Like myself. I don't like watching things online. Yeah,
especially the small computer screen.
Yeah, I can't do that.
And it's
why
not,
download them and then
put them on the TV? Such high resolution.
Joe has a high resolution phone?
Well, all the phones do anymore.
You know, I haven't tried it on my phone, but
I really think phone viewing makes you cross-eyed, though.
You know, I don't like the concept of phone viewing. But
tablet viewing.
You want to make a pledge, 516-620-3602, I'm going to play Drop the Laser just a little bit just so you can hear a few pieces of the music.
The Laser?
Well, it would be Drop the Laser if it's CD player. We have to come up with another one.
Okay.
Maybe just go to the next track. That's the high-tech way of saying. But
or push the button, or lay on the click, or
here you go. Just so you can see what else is in there. And this is from Midnight Special. Did you see that?
Yes.
Did you like that?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was, you know, seemed like Tomorrowland a bit.
Did you like Tomorrowland?
Yeah, I like Tomorrowland.
You did?
Yes.
Seemed like Tomorrowland.
So I got a lot of this on there. All right, I got this on there. How about this? This is Joe coming home.
You know, this music reminds me of and wants me to mention. There is a documentary on Amazon Prime, and it's the Hugh Hefner story.
Oh, really? Somebody was telling me about that. How is
very,
that?
Very good.
Really?
Very well made, very good.
Is it a documentary?
It's a more contemporary kind of documentary where they have
reenactments.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, but I mean, they cover
slow
everything.
Slow motion.
So, no.
Slow motion reenactments.
With a lot of footage never released before, and
okay,
you know, so it was very engaging.
Did you find it fascinating?
Well, no, I don't wouldn't say fascinating, but I find it very engaging because we've seen the other documentaries about Hugh Hefner and his involvement.
No, I haven't seen any.
Yeah, you haven't seen any?
Well, yeah, there was one about 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Saw that one.
And his involvement with civil rights and censorship, and what this really puts into perspective, all of that, and then his struggles with the emergence of Penthouse, and they go into a little bit more the trial on the obscenity thing. I had never known that the case had gone to the jury, and the next day was when Kennedy was assassinated.
Yes, that I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, and so they talk about that, and then how the jury came back hung, and they just dismissed the charges.
The whole thing, yeah.
Yeah. And then the second charges that were brought up against his personal assistant, who he was very good friends with, and she was dating this guy who was actually a drug dealer. And they decided that when they saw the pictures and she was in some of the pictures, that they were going to indict her as well to try to get to Hef. And how...
Interesting.
And how the two... Her ex-boyfriend and the drug dealer that he was dealing with got reduced sentences, and they threw the book at her at 15 years.
Wow.
In prison. And then the next day she committed suicide.
Wow. Did they talk about any of his civil rights activism? And,
yeah. All that stuff.
And that he got...
Lenny Bruce.
That he bought a grave plot next to Marilyn Monroe.
They didn't mention that.
Yeah, he never even met her.
So,
but he bought a grave plot next to her.
They didn't talk about that.
That's sort of like afterlife sexual harassment.
I don't know. It sounds like an investment.
Well, you know, she was never pleased that he published those pictures. That's just so you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, you know how much he bought them for?
Peanuts.
He went in there. He couldn't do more than $1,000.
Right.
And the guy who owned the photographs, he walked out of his office and he said, "Well, $600." And he like walks out of the office, and it was a reenactment thing, and he smiles, and he turns, and the guy says, "Look, I'll give him to you for $5 and not a penny less." So, yeah, right. he got him for $5.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Marilyn was not that pleased.
But it was interesting too how it went through the evolution of the centerfold and who the first centerfold was, and then how they came up with the idea of fold, actually. So it was the pinup girl, then the centerfold, and then him fighting with Guccione and Penthouse kind of thing. And it really put everything into perspective in a really good timeline. So, and the thing that really destroyed them was the two times that he didn't listened to himself and he listened to other people was the and the one that destroyed the company pretty much was when the UK casinos came under investigation, and he fired his good friend who had been managing all the Playboy clubs and casinos kind of thing. And what happened was, because he was so immersed within the culture, the courts came back and said, well, if they fired him, we think that, you know, there were some things going on there, so we're not renewing your licenses. And if they would have left him in place, they probably would have gotten their licenses.
That's why they all closed down?
They were something like between 25 and 35 million a year in profits just off the UK casinos. That was floating the magazine.
Well, there it is.
So, a very informative documentary.
Okay. And what's it called?
The Hefner Story. You Hefner Story on Amazon Prime.
Did you write that down, Mr. Guest?
I did not.
All right, I have another story for you, Joe Masseri. I'm going to give it to you. But I do want people to pledge. Make a call right now. 516-620-3602. $35 pledge. What you want is fall 2017 DGM. Put up. like this audio, Joe.
Once there was a way to get back homeward.
Like Attica, it does. It's a great score, though. It's I forget what film it is actually, but it's the composer is Abel Korzynowski. So, would you like that?
It's a good score, but I forget what it is.
I forget what it
but
is.
It's but, from a movie.
But this is another version. I played you an earlier version of this. When you tell me what you think of this. I like that. More than one version of the same song. Probably don't know what song it is yet, do you?
Okay, Jonathan Schwartz.
You know what this is?
I don't know if you get to the main part yet.
Well, of course, when you get to the main part, you'll know what
Don't
it
Explain?
Is. No.
Don't watch movie trailers, but I just had to put together a trailer reel for the WinterCon that took place this past weekend at the Resorts World in Jamaica.
Yeah.
There were two trailers that blew me away.
Okay.
From the musical point of view.
Okay.
One was the Black Panther.
Okay.
The music in there is amazing.
All right.
And the other is the New Mutants.
Ah, I haven't seen the trailer for
that. Which looks like a horror movie.
Really?
And they use this
in it kind of thing. And it's just, it's like...
They use this song?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's really, and they use this, like, you know, very haunting...
version?
Lyrical. They break it up into segments kind of thing. And then, you know, boom, when the last few, like, seconds of the trailer kicks in, they give me that montage of all the stuff going on kind of thing. Right. It's like, you know, they just, like,
okay,
hit you with it. So...
Wow.
Whoever did that trailer needs to get an award.
I got you. That's they should. They don't have trailer awards.
No, they should.
They should. I think they used to. But if you're enjoying this music, and you want these two versions of The Wall, which are on there, 516-620-3602. $35 pledge. We send the CD to you free. Just so you can find out who all these artists are and support them.
Can you get a digital download, Mr. Sargent?
Yes, you can. If you call now.
Call now.
Call now. Make your pledge. You can email me at lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com and give me your receipt number, and I can send you a digital file.
Instant gratification.
Tomorrow. You'll have it. You don't have to wait for us to mail it.
Not that we don't want to take anything away from the postcard.
That's right. Well, you know, but if you prefer the CD... 516-620-3602. You can get your copy of DGM Fall 2017.
It's a bargain. Yeah.
Last story for you. Should I give it to the mystery guest? I'll give it to her. If you're too...
What's the overall theme of the subject matter?
I ain't gonna tell you.
Sexual in nature, or
well, I can give you a. You want a sexual story?
No, I don't want.
I can give you a sexual story. You want a sex story, Joe?
I think you need something important and relevant.
And relevant.
Just a nice bedtime story.
There you go.
You don't want
to. Doesn't have to be sexual.
You don't want a sexy story, but yeah, Joe. Has he commuted yet, you said? Yeah, he tweets after
POTUS, the show. Has POTUS tweeted yet?
He tweets during the show.
I thought I saw a POTUS tweet. I did see a POTUS tweet. summary, given the late hour. So
you can just read the summary.
Sonic Kayaks, environmental monitoring, and experimental music by citizens. Researchers have rigged kayaks with underwater environmental sensors and speakers.
Underwater environmental sensors.
And speakers.
Okay.
To create an environmental monitoring tool suitable for citizen scientists. Instructions for the hardware and open source software for making the Sonic Canoe are available.
The Sonic Canoe. There it is. Sounds like a website.
It's just another gimmick to get your hard-earned cash.
Sonic Canoe.
There you go.
That's right. Paddle your way to stardom with the Sonic Canoe.
I don't know, but you know.
Come on. You know you can paddle your way. You could write a song like that, the paddle song. It'll be a hit.
Imagine if, like, you know, like, because it's an open source platform, it's like some hackers, like, tweet, you know, like, you know, hack your music, and you got, like, this really nasty heavy metal music, and it's like, you're paddling, you see the fishes, like, bubbling up.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because your paddle is. Yeah, you're talking to
sonic
the fish.
Sonic sound is
in your sonic canoe.
Is sonically percussioning.
Well, you've been listening to Night Shift. We are on the web at lifeislikesciencefiction.com. And we've got shows going back for over 10 years. And we need you to make a pledge because we are in our marathon. You know, this is the last 5 minutes of the show. And we're imploring you to pledge at least $35. You can get the DGM, the Fall 2017 edition. That's Fall 2017 DGM. You can just call right now, 516-620-3602. We have people waiting there to take your call. A human being will talk to you and take your pledge. And we send you this CD free with over 6.5 hours of music. Free. Right, should I go to one more track there, Joe?
One more track. Something that just seals the deal and sends it home.
If you feel like patting your feet, pat your feet. And if you feel like clapping your hands, clap your hands. And if you feel like taking off your shoes, take off your shoes. We are here to have a ball. So we want you to leave your worldly troubles outside and come in here and swing.
What were we going to say, Joe?
Nothing. I'm just tired. I don't know about you. It's been a long day.
Yes. Yes, it has.
Went to a great event tonight, which hopefully I'll post something on Night Shift once that finishes up and stuff. Giving out awards. These new awards called the Act Now Awards.
Did you interview anybody? You were at the Winter Awards. You were there with Rutger Hauer. Did you interview anybody while you were there?
No, I didn't talk to anybody.
You didn't talk to anybody? Not even Rutger Hauer? Not even Sean Young?
No.
It was a Blade Runner reunion. Talk to anybody, Joe.
I still like some of the guys doing the panels, you know. The guys who want to be us kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're just like...
The guys who want to be us.
And it was just... I was bored.
You were bored.
I was bored. It wasn't dynamic. It wasn't engaging.
There it is.
So, a lot of old people there. I felt like I was in an old person's home.
Those fans, those shows, those movies.
Gil Gerard.
Gil Gerard. What does he look like now?
Old.
What about Erin Gray? How does she look?
Old.
Stop. Wow. Erin Gray. Wow.
And you know, there's this big convention out at the Nesso Coliseum.
Sean Young doesn't really look like herself.
Did you hear about this one?
Which? What's it called?
The ACE convention.
Hey, what does that mean? What
I have
an
no
ACE
idea.
Convention? What does it stand for?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It's taking place this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Nassau Coliseum. They have everybody except Ben Affleck from Justice League.
Really? Everybody but Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck. Yes.
Okay, well, Ben Affleck is too important.
Well, Ben Affleck is just, you know.
Everybody but Ben Affleck is going to be there.
Right. Gal Gadot is going to be there.
Yeah, Gal Gadot.
The guy who played the... Flash.
Okay.
Cyborg. Aquaman.
what's his face? Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one who's married to, what's her name from Cosby Show?
Oh, the guy who played...
Jason Momoa.
The guy who played the villain?
No, Aquaman. Oh, the guy who played... Who played the villain? Oh, Sirian Hines.
No.
Yeah, he was, star, or whatever, Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf, yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. Somebody else. It's not Sirian
it was Sirian
Hines.
Hines. How much you want to bet? Old,
no, they got his picture up there. Don't look
how
like
much you want to bet it was Sirian Hines who did... How much we bet?
He may have done the voice, but I bet you it's this other actor who...
Oh, okay. Does he get
Sirian
credit?
Hines don't look... He's a little bit too old to be stomping around.
He can stomp around. He can still stomp.
No, he's no... old he's, stomping. He's no, Moreno, anyway. But we have less than 2 minutes to go.
All right. Make a pledge right now. Just go ahead.
It's 516...
6203602. That's 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. That's the pledge line.
Make a pledge
right now. Get the DGM
for
yourself. Fall 2017. Get it for yourself. You know you want it.
Christmas is coming. You can
mystery guest.
Give it as a gift.
Do you want to say anything to the folks before you go?
She's tired.
Mystery guest, you want to say anything?
I want to say good night. And yes. Good luck getting your DGM by gets tomorrow.
Gets right. You know what to do. Make your pledge
do
and
it,
then
do
email
it,
me.
Do it.
You must.
Quick
you must.
Turn around. It's a bargain.
That's right. So all you have to do is make your pledge. Call now, 516-620-3602. And then once you got all your info, send it to me at lifeislikesciencefiction, all one word, at
so
gmail.com. That's lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com. And I will send it to you digitally.
Yeah.
So there it is. But... make a pledge. We need your support. We want to stay here. We want to stay on the air. You want us to stay on the air. At least I think you do, or you wouldn't be listening. Until then, this has been Night Shift. You can like us on Facebook, NITESHIFT, Night Shift. And from there, you can go to our website, get our Twitter. What do you say, Joe?
The liking thing is you want to follow us.
All right, follow us. I don't know, can follow. You follow or can you only
Twitter.
Like?
Can you follow us,
can you
we
follow
on
us?
Twitter?
We're on Twitter, NITESHIFTZ. That's Night Shift Z.